of time waiting in our lives. We wait in line at the store. We wait in line at the pharmacy. We wait for so many things. We wait for buses. Does anybody wait for buses anymore? School buses, maybe? Planes or rides? When you were children, maybe some of you remember this. Do you remember when you were waiting to grow taller? When you'd just be big enough to get out of your car seat or big enough to ride certain rides at Valley Fair? I don't think very many of you remember this, but at some point in our lives, we wait to grow older. Can hardly wait to be 13 or 16 or 18 or 97. That will be so great. We wait to see results on tests in school, tests at the doctor. We wait to see results if you do any kind of dieting or exercising. We wait to see those results. Sometimes we wait for a sermon to begin, and then we certainly wait for it to finally end. And some of us spend a lot of time waiting for other people. So in any family, in any group of friends, there are always the people who are the on-time people, and there are the late people. So let's just know who we are today. How many of you are the on-time people? Promptness is one of your things that you like to do. You maybe are the kind of people that say things like, you know what, 5 minutes early, that's on time. And some of you are more of what at our house we call a time optimist. Who are our time optimists? You just always think there's a little more time to get something else done, and so you end up being late. Sunday mornings is one of those terrible times of waiting. Does anybody know what I'm talking about when you're waiting for someone else? I can remember as a teenager, my dad, Sunday mornings would start out fine, and then the tension would rise and rise. So finally he was yelling, "Get in the car!" Some of you are like, we already had that this morning. We had the person we were waiting for and tapping our foot. One of my friends said, we should have just named all of our children, "Hurry up." Waiting is hard, and we don't love to wait. And last week we began our series that is going to take us through to Labor Day called Remarkable Things. And we began reading the book of Acts together, and we heard the first few verses of the first chapter. And in that beginning of Acts, we found out that Jesus' closest followers had been told that the Holy Spirit was coming and that Jesus would return again someday. This was such remarkable news that I said last week that those folks would have been watching. They would have been paying attention because they had no idea what was going to come and when it was going to come. But nobody ever said how long it was going to take. And being watchful is easy when something is imminent, but as time goes by, watching can turn to waiting. Here's my most simple definition of waiting. To wait means to stay in place until, dot, dot, dot. To stay in place until whatever it is that you're waiting for finally comes to be. And waiting is difficult, and it can easily turn into wasting time. When you have to wait, sometimes you can become discouraged or impatient. Sometimes we forget to be watchful or even give up and move on. Jesus told his disciples to go to Jerusalem and to wait. And I wonder what they would do during that time. What do you do when you have to wait? So we are moving on today to Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 26. If you have a Bible, go ahead and read. I hope some of you read ahead following your new bookmark that we have for the Remarkable Things series. But this is how it begins. It says, "Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city." Here's the little remarkable note about this, is Jesus has told them to be waiting in Jerusalem, and for some reason they're not in Jerusalem, and they're finally returning to Jerusalem at this moment. Verse 13, "When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. And those who were present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James." We're just moving quickly. "They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." So here we have this group of people, and it says they are there in this special place. They are in an upstairs room. And Luke, the writer of Acts, doesn't tell us if it was the upstairs room. I don't know if it was the room where they had joined together to have their last supper, but it's significant that it's an upstairs room. They are above street level, which makes it harder for anybody to be able to peek in to see what they're doing. It would have been a quieter place for them to gather, and it would have been a more protected place because this group of folks is in danger as they wait for what is to come. The people that killed Jesus because they wanted this movement to end would be looking for them and trying to stop it. And so they are staying there, and here's who they are. If you notice in the list, there are 11 disciples listed there. We are missing Judas Iscariot. And among this group that are gathered together are women. And this is remarkable in this text because Luke makes sure to know that we know that the first disciples of Jesus were both women and men. In a culture that had little space for women, in this movement, they are at the center of everything that is happening. So here is this group waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. They're waiting because they've heard that Jesus is going to come back again. And I'm sure they're watchful. Every sound, every time the door opens, they are looking to see. But no matter what, they're waiting. And they don't know how long it's going to take. So what do they do when they have to wait? Here's what I notice in this first part of this passage. They stick together. So when they're waiting to see what will happen, they don't all go to their own places of residence. They don't split up and go do their own thing. They are together. They're together for mutual support. Nobody is isolated. They're together because this is what they did when they were with Jesus. When Jesus was alive, we stuck together. They traveled in groups all the time, and they're sticking it out just the way that Jesus had taught them. They're together, sharing life face to face. It sounds almost like they're living together. It says this is the place where they were staying. They're together for safety, and they stay together to keep the faith. Together, they can tell the stories over and over again. Do you remember when Jesus said this? Do you remember when we saw that? It will help them keep this little flame of faith that has begun going. So while they're waiting, they stick together, and they pray. Luke says they are constantly in prayer, and this is a common theme in the New Testament, a way of describing prayer frequently, that you don't just pray at a prescribed time or just in moments, but they are constantly praying as they are together. Then we go on. Verse 15 says, in those days, Peter stood up among the believers, and Luke says it was a group of about 120, and he said, brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit so long ago spoke through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. So in this moment, Peter stands up to address the group, and he becomes one of the key voices of this movement, these early Christians. Excuse me. And Peter calls attention to the sad story of Judas, the one who had been one of Jesus' closest friends and who betrayed him in the end. And Luke will add something parenthetically, and I'll give you a little warning. This part is a little graphic. Luke says this, with the payment Judas received for his wickedness, he bought a field, and there he fell headlong. His body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that place in their language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. This is one of those places that, in the scripture that nobody quotes. You'll never get this on a greeting card. He fell headlong and his intestines spilled out. Nobody does that. So Peter goes on to explain, here's what we're going to do next, says Peter. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of those must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. And then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. What do they do when they have to wait? They stick together, they pray, and they keep up the work of the ministry. It's a sad story about Jesus, but he's gone, and they need to keep moving on. So rather than just sitting around and waiting, they continue the work that began with Jesus. What do you do when you have to wait? You keep up the good work. Another example from the Bible. In 587 BC, the Babylonian Empire swept into Jerusalem and razed the city. They tore down the temple, they knocked down the walls, they left the whole place in shambles and carried tons of people off into exile. So the people of God were taken from their homes and made to live in the worst place they could possibly imagine. There they were living in Babylon with no idea of how long they were going to be there. And then God sends word through the prophet Jeremiah to tell them, here's what I want you to do while you wait. I know you're in this place that you're not very happy about. Nobody wants to live in Babylon, but here's what God says that they should do. In Jeremiah 29, he says, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they might have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you in exile. It's going to be some 50 to 70-ish years for them to be there. I don't know the exact date and time, and neither do they. Many, if not all of them, are going to live the rest of their lives out in Babylon. But God's call for them is to not waste even a moment of time while they wait. God doesn't want them to just sit around until something comes along that's better, but to live in that moment. God calls them to seek goodness, not just for themselves, but for the whole place and for the people among whom they live. As they're waiting on God to act, as the disciples waited for Jesus to return, as we wait in our own way for Jesus, it's not an invitation to sit around, but an opportunity to stick together, to constantly pray, and to keep ministry alive. Because remarkable things happen while we wait. As we continue reading this book of Acts, we're going to see remarkable things that happen to the followers of Jesus and to the people who hear about Jesus for the first time. And even after the wait for the Holy Spirit is over, spoiler alert, that happens in 2 weeks, so be ready with Acts chapter 2, they're still going to be waiting for Jesus to return. But they are going to be actively, watchfully waiting and experiencing remarkable things. And we can too. So this little skit that I did at the beginning of this message is actually about me. I was typecast in the role. I don't like to wait. I like things to move quickly and efficiently, and I get a little grumpy when they don't. Thankfully, none of my family is here, so they're not nodding their heads, but they could attest to that. So this last Tuesday, as I do every day, I drove my daughter to drop her off at Chanhassen High School. And I'm going to tell you this, the school pickup lines are meant to drive a person crazy. No matter if you're dropping kids off at elementary school, middle school, or high school, the drive-up lane is a place that tortures those of us who lack patience. And I could go on and on about the people who take their own sweet time, who don't pull up as far as they can, but I'm not going to talk about that. I'm just going to say that on Tuesday, as we pulled up, it was the perfect timing. There were only two cars in front of us, and the first one pulled way up, and then the next little white Jeep, and then I pulled up behind them. My kid got out. I said, hey, Ami, have a great day. The Lord bless you. And off she went, and the first car drove off, and I thought, here we go. But the car in front of me just sat there. What is going on? Don't they understand how this works? You get the kid out and then you get out of the way because there's a line of people behind us. It just sat there. And then the passenger door of the car opened up and the high school student got out and he walked around the back of the car right in front of my car to the passenger to the driver's side, and he opened up the door to the back seat of the car, and then he took out his backpack and he put on his backpack. And then he closed that door, and then he stepped one step forward to the driver's window, which was open, and his dad reached his hand out and blessed his son with the sign of the cross on his forehead, on his heart, on each shoulder, and then a little knock-knock on the top of his head, which I think means I love you. It was a remarkable thing to see, and it was worth the wait. And in this passage, in the book of Acts, it is remarkable that the disciples chose to do things while they waited. And we can follow their lead. They stuck together and did not become isolated. They prayed and prayed and prayed, and then they prayed some more. And they kept about the business of ministry. They kept moving forward, doing what Jesus called them to do, and then remarkable things take place in the meantime. So what are you waiting for? As a church, I know that you are waiting for the results of our listening process. We had all these focus groups, and we want to know what did we say and what did we hear, and I promise you they're coming, but we're waiting. As a church, you're waiting for a new lead pastor, for the really real pastor, to come and be here and to keep things moving forward. I know you're waiting, but you have been here before in this time of waiting. Does anybody remember 2020? March of 2020, when everything shut down and you began to wait for who knew how long. Waiting to see what was next, waiting to meet together in person. But you, church, did just what the disciples did. You stuck together. If you're here today, it means that you didn't leave during that wait. You stuck together. You met outdoors. You recorded your services. You wore masks. You found creative ways to be able to still be together. And during that time, you prayed. You prayed for what would come next. You prayed for the good of the city and your community. You prayed for this church. You prayed for the message of Jesus to go out. And you kept at the business of ministry. Worship was sometimes outside. Sometimes it was inside. Sometimes it was all kinds of different things. But you still came together to worship. There was Zoom Sunday school for kids. There was still a winter retreat. Closet of Hope closed briefly and then adapted to continue that ministry. And in that time, you saw remarkable things. Last year, from June to just a few weeks ago, you waited for a director of music ministries. No one knew how long it would take when Doug Vetvik left. And you stuck together. You didn't leave. You're still here. Some of you even joined the fray in the midst of all of that. And you prayed for who God would bring. And you kept at it. And we sang beautiful songs. And we worshiped together every single week. We experienced remarkable things in the waiting. So as a church, that's what we're doing now. Sticking together. Not letting anyone become isolated, saying we're committed to this group of people, and then praying for what God has next and keeping at the business of ministry. And this has been a great program year. That video showed just the remarkable children and youth that were taught about Jesus this year. We've seen remarkable things happen, and we will continue to do that and to make note of them. So once more, and you could apply this all to yourself as an individual. I'm sticking with the community thoughts here. But as you wait for whatever you're waiting on God for, as we wait together as a church, as we plunge along in this series, I'm just going to remind you that we have these bookmarks. And as we wait together, we want to read through Acts together this summer. So they're out on the Welcome Center if you didn't get one last week. But they ask two questions. You read your passage from Acts and ask, what remarkable things did I read in this passage? And then at the end of the day or whenever it's convenient for you, take a break every day and ask, in what remarkable ways did I experience Jesus today? I wrote that in the newsletter this last week, wondering, does anyone read the newsletter? And I said, if you experience remarkable things, email them to me. And two friends sent me emails this week. So out in the narthex, near the wall, there is a big board that says remarkable things, and we want to fill it up with the things that you're noticing, the ways that you are seeing Jesus. So there's a few things out there already. In your bulletin today is a post-it note. Connor thought maybe he won a prize, but everybody got a post-it note in their bulletin. You could use that post-it note to write down something that you've seen just even this week, something in nature, an experience that you had, a dad blessing his son before he leaves for school. Let us continue to stick together, to pray, to keep at the work of ministry, and pay attention to the remarkable things that God is doing. Would you join me in prayer? Thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you for those early Christians who kept at it. Lord, they were in danger. They didn't always know what they were doing, but they stuck together. They prayed, and they kept at what you told them to do. They kept telling others about you as they waited for the Holy Spirit, and they waited to see what was next. So in the waiting time for this church, Lord, we are doing just those things. And for those who are waiting on you for things in their own life, Lord, an answer to prayer, direction for what is next, healing or hope or peace, Lord, we pray that in the wait, that they would not become isolated, that they continue to pray, that they would keep about the business that you have put them to, Lord, and that we would see remarkable things. In Jesus' name, amen.